Good morning, everyone. Today is the 7th of May, 2018, and it's Tuesday morning. You shall hear of wars and rumor wars. See that ye be not troubled. Matthew 24:6. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Good morning, Brother Leon Kennedy. Good to see you this morning. You've been very busy on Facebook. I've seen your postings, brother. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Psalm 46:1-3 and Isaiah 16:26-20 and 21. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Psalm 57:1. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. Your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, Psalm 112:7. These things have I spoken to you, that ye in me might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Well, each one of us have a perspective on life that is different than the other ones. Leon, I'm sure you have a, because of your experiences in life, you have a different insight into the world than I do. And I'm sure because of my experiences in life, I probably have a different perspective to do. So we can learn from each other. Iron sharpens iron. You know, I've never ceased to be amazed at how there are so many different perspectives in life, the way people look at things. And we can't help but have our experiences shape our perceptions of reality. Good morning, Samuel James. You know, people are born into different situations in their lives that give them certain attitudes about other members of the human race. Is that not true? Greetings, Ashley. Every one of us is born into a different situation in our lives. The person in Guatemala is going to look at things. Born in Guatemala. Guatemala is called the land of eternal spring. But people born in Guatemala are going to look at things totally different than people that are born in Chile. People in Chile are going to look at things totally different than people born in Brazil. People in Brazil are going to look at things totally different than people born in South Africa. And on and on and on. People in South Africa are going to look at things differently than people born in Moscow or LA or Chicago or Kansas City, like I was born in. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, you know, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was born and brought up under Gamaliel, one of the top dudes, Pharisees, you know. But Paul had to throw it all out the window. He said, I count it all but dung. He says, I count it all but dung. Well, we cannot allow our situation in life to cloud or to color or to taint our view of the scripture, of the Bible, of God. All of our perception should be molded around God's word, not our experiences. You say, well, how can you discount our experiences? You really can't, but, you know, if we go by our feelings, if we go by the perceptions of reality, if we go by what we see with our physical eyes, we're going to be pretty discouraged. We're going to be pretty discouraged. You know, at one time in my life, I worked in a hospital that was primarily working with, that whole department was working with autistic children. And that was a real eye-opener for me. When people are born with certain maladies, it has to affect how they view the rest of the world. I remember day after day going into that unit, and it became pretty depressing because these people would, most of these were children that were autistic that I was working with. And I remember one little boy would just rock for hours and hours and hours, just rock. I guess it was comforting for him to rock. Just rock. He didn't interact with anyone other around him, but he got comfort from rocking, you know. I remember so many things that happened when I was working with these children. It had an impact on me. And I think that God put. And then my wife worked in a school of multiply handicapped children. And I believe that God was preparing both of us for what we would later have to face with our own son. Those experiences opened our eyes. Mainstream society, mainstream culture, what I call normality, you know. Everything's on a continuum, okay, of what people construe as normal. What's normal, right? What's normal? And I remember asking myself one time the question, wait a minute. 75% of the people are in that continuum of normalcy. They go about their daily lives. They're able to cognitively process information. They're able to hold down a job. They're able to interact with other people without getting into too much trouble. And then you have these diversions. You have some people that they're unable to cognitively process information. You have some people with Down syndrome, some people with multiply handicapped. Good morning, Nick Bischoff. Or greetings, I should say. My wife worked with children that had to be, you know, couldn't do anything for themselves. Couldn't feed themselves. She worked with children that they had to put helmets on their heads because they would bang their heads against the wall. You know, what most people have the attitude that don't have significant issues like I'm alluding to, out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to deal with it. I've had people say, I couldn't do that, you know, whatever it is. I couldn't deal with people that had maladies or deformities or were born with disability. I couldn't deal with it, they tell me. Well, sometimes a person doesn't have a choice. And so you're dealt something that other people aren't dealt with. And it brings you to a different understanding of the realities of people. Christ said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I think that refers to the little ones, not just children. That includes children. But possibly those that are considered little in the society, you know. They're not in the mainstream. They're on the fringes, okay. Why do people lash out in their lives? I'm just kind of talking to you this morning. Why do you have thousands of people in Europe, the yellow vests, lashing out? Is it just sheer rebellion, or are many of them rightfully angry at the way their government is treating them? Why did the United States rebel against Great Britain? Why did they lash out? Why do sometimes children lash out at their parents? Why do spouses lash out at each other? You know? Why do people reject their families? These are all legitimate questions, are they not? Well, I have good news. Jesus Christ has the answer to all of these questions. Every one of them. There's a scripture that says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. By the way, that's the only way we're going to find salvation. We're not going to find salvation in our culture, in our creeds, in our race, in our religion, in our parents, in our families. There is no salvation to be found other than in the person of Jesus Christ. Why can I say that? Well, first of all, Scripture says that. Secondly, Christ says that himself, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And thirdly, we look at the actions of Christ. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, left the ivory palaces of heaven and came down here as a suffering servant. Good morning, Rustico Danon, or whatever time it is in the Philippines. You know, good morning, Bashar Shalan. I hope I said your last name correctly. Bashara Shalayan. He came as a suffering servant from the ivory palaces of glory for one purpose and one purpose alone, to save his people from their sins. And he did it. He accomplished the purpose that he came for. Can I prove it? Well, the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we're healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I know I have. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us, of us all. Well, that is for his sheep. He's talking about his sheep there. Now, there's a very interesting question that we must ask ourselves. And I ask myself this question often. Am I truly one of his sheep? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What does it mean to be one of his sheep? Oftentimes I don't feel like I'm one of his sheep. Oftentimes I see my propensity to sin, my waywardness, my rebellion against God and his word. It caused me to question whether, in fact, I am a sheep or not. The good news is, Scripture tells us he didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I lay no claims on any righteousness in Larry Phillips. I look in the mirror and I see a depraved sinner, saved by the grace of God. How do I know that I'm saved? Well, his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm his child. Not anything in this creature that I've done to merit his favor, that's for sure. But the fact that I am a sinner makes me a candidate for election, because he says he came to call the sinner, not the righteous, to repentance. That gives me great hope. Great hope. And so this morning, regardless of where you're from, whether you're from Uganda, Rwanda, Kenya, you get a lot of people from Kenya listening, a lot of people from Pakistan. You know, I just got the report back from Sermon Audio. We get a monthly report of all those that have downloaded our messages. And I think that there was like 36 countries that downloaded messages in the month of April, and 48 states of the United States. And the reason I'm sharing this, there was over 5,000 downloads for April. And you know what? I looked at that. I started going through those different countries that were represented that had listened on Sermon Audio. And then I was thinking about all of the friends, the 5,000 friends we have on Facebook all around the world. And what does this tell us? This gives authority to God's word when he says he has people from every tongue, every people, and every nation. The faith of Christ that have been placed in people around the world. Revelation tells us that there will be people from every tongue, every people, and every nation there. Myriads of people. Sometimes we see, like Elijah, we think, well, we're the only ones. Do you ever feel that way? I know I do. I live on the outskirts, on the top of an Ozark mountain. And I see what's going on in mainstream society, in organized religion, and I shake my head. And I think, is there any hope for this old world? But our hope cannot be placed in our culture, in society, in political structures, in organized religion, in any of that. It's brought me to a whole new awareness of the temporariness of life by the fact that I've lost both of my parents in the last 5 months. I know some of you have lost your parents for years and years and years, but this is a new experience for me. And what it brings to light is the absolute temporariness of this physical life. Even though my father was 92 when he passed away and my mother was 89, they'd lived long lives. But they didn't live as long as Methuselah. They didn't live 969 years. I can't imagine living that long, can you? Anyway, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning here in Pineville, Missouri. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of rain over the last 3 days. Lots of rain. Lots of flooding. Lots of storms. Lots of tornadoes. And it reminds me of the scripture that says that Jesus Christ was asleep in the boat. And the winds were howling. The sea was roaring. Disciples were fearful that they were going to lose their lives. They went down into the boat and woke up Jesus and said, "Don't you care if we perish?" Jesus just said to the winds and the rain and the billows of water and everything, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." Well, they said, "Wow." They might have not used that word, but they said, "Who is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was the creator of the universe. It was the one who created all of these things. Greetings, Pos Peter Nelson. You know, for 2 days, I was unable to broadcast on Facebook. They had me shut down. So I thought, well, I'll go to the alternative source. I'll go to YouTube. Tried to broadcast on YouTube. No way. Could not broadcast. So I thought, well, I'll go to my TalkShoe platform. So I went to my TalkShoe platform and I was able to broadcast. But, you know, when we're shut down, we start asking, why? Well, we all have questions as to the whys in our life. But God ordains all things, including the shutdown of Facebook and YouTube, including all of the things that we've talked about this morning. But, all of this is going to pass away. Everything that we hold near and dear to our hearts, our families, our fame, our fortune, everything that we put so much value on is going to pass away. But there's one thing that will never pass away. And that is Jesus Christ and His Word. And so this morning, let us be reminded that we have an anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure. And whenever things happen in our lives that we don't understand, we must realize that God has everything in His hands. About a year and a half ago, as many of you know, we own some rental properties. And we have a fellow that oversees our properties for us. The properties we own are about 4 hours from where we live here. So he oversees the properties and collects the rents and so on. His name is Rob. One morning, I looked on my phone and I saw he'd call early in the morning. That's just not like Rob. And I just thought, something's up. Something's major up for him to call that early in the morning. We have several properties. Anyway, this one property was vacant. We were in the process of renting it out. And I called him up and I said, Rob, what's up? He says, I've got bad news. He said, you know such and such a property? It burnt to the ground last night. I said, what? He said, it burnt to the ground. He said, I don't know if somebody set it on fire. I don't know what happened. But he said, it burnt to the ground. And I remember what I said to him. I said, well, that's one less property we have to worry about renting. Is it going to do any good to get all bent out of shape about it? I'm just using that as an example. Greetings, Asher Bahati. God saw fit to burn that property to the ground for some reason. I don't know why. But anyway, whatever it is that we face in our lives, whatever it is, whether it's attack on our physical bodies, attack on our finances, attack on our on our belief system by the mainstream of society, whether it's Facebook shutting us down, whatever it is, God is in charge. When I'm really going through some tough times, sometimes my wife, she'll say, wow, you're sure having a Job experience right now, aren't you? We all have our Job experiences. We all have them. It's reality. We're living in a sin-cursed world. But this morning I want to encourage everyone that we have an anchor. We have a rock. We have a foundation, a cornerstone. It's tried and tested. And if I never see you again on the face of this earth, I hope you will remember what we talked about this morning. Jesus Christ is the answer. He has provided the means of escape for His people through the shed blood of Christ. He's our righteousness. We have no righteousness in ourselves, but we hold to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice on the cross. May the Lord be with you today in a special way is my prayer. I love you guys. You're special, special friends. And thank you for allowing me to rant and share my thoughts with you this morning. May God be with you in a special way is my prayer. God bless.